Man, these, you know, this world is a wicked place. You know, now praise God, there are some good people in this world. And hopefully you are one of the good people in this world, that I am one of the good persons in this world. And so there's a lot of good people in this world, but you know, I did
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today. Conclusion of Heaven, Part 3. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Heaven, Part 3.
You know, I like this one right here. There'll be no more sorrow. Revelation 21 and verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. God will wipe away all tears associated with the sorrows of this life. This will include grief brought on by death or pain resulting from sickness or hurt caused by losses in life. God is gonna wipe away every tear from our eyes. So the painful things that happen to us down here, I believe one of two things will happen. Either God will wipe them from our memory and, you know, we will not remember those things, or if we remember those things, there will not be any grief associated with it. You know, we'll remember those things, you know, again, in a way that we'll turn them into a praise. You know, God, I remember when I went through this difficult time. I remember when I went through this painful time, and Lord, you are with me. And so it'll be rejoicing. So the sorrows, the painful things that happen to us on this life, God is going to remove the sting of those painful things. You know, the slaves, you remember the song that they used to sing, soon we'll be done with the troubles of this world. And so, saints, that's the way that we, you know, need to look at things too, is the fact that, you know, things on this earth seem to be getting worse and worse. You know, I mean, every week and maybe even every day, there's mass shootings. You know, we just read about this one down there in Texas at that mall where the guy got out of his car and just started shooting people. Man, these, you know, this world is a wicked place. You know, now praise God, there are some good people in this world. And hopefully you are one of the good people in this world, that I am one of the good persons in this world. And so there's a lot of good people in this world, but you know, I did an interview with Channel 4 News when we had the ribbon cutting, and you know, they came to interview me about, you know, the new sanctuary and everything, but he asked more questions about Bethany being in Homewood, and you know, he talked about how that, you know, there's a lot of crime in Homewood, and you know, and one of the things that I pointed out, and I said, you know, those are the things that seem to make the headlines. If you come into Homewood, there's a lot of good things going on. You know, if you go to the churches, each church is doing something marvelous in this community. When you look at, I know I'm on the board for the Homewood Children's Village and what they're doing. When you look at other initiatives, there's a lot of good things going on in Homewood. But sadly, it seems like, you know, people getting shot, people getting killed, people getting robbed, that seems to overwhelm the good things that are going on. And so when you look at this world, you know, there's a lot of good people in this world, and there's a lot of good people doing good things, but, you know, it seems like wickedness is overshadowing, you know, the fact that, you know, somebody, you know, here's what, 8 or 9 lives that started out the week last week that are not here anymore. You know, so, you know, this world is just, you know, has some wicked people in it that make it hard to be in this world. But one day, you know, we'll be done with the troubles of this world. And so there'll be no more sorrow. You know, just think of, and I know I say this often, but just think of your loved ones, you know, people that that you love, that knew the Lord, and when they passed away from this life, you know, man, they were done with all the troubles associated with this old world. And so, you know, we're in this world, and that's why, saints, I encourage us that we do everything that we can to make this world a better place, right? That if, you know, I'm going to be talking about this Sunday, we've been talking about the tabernacle, the Shekinah glory. We've looked at the altar, and we've looked at the laver so far. This Sunday, we want to look at the golden candlestick, and the candlestick brings light. And God wants us to bring light to this world. And so if he's left us here, that if you're here right now, you know, that we long for heaven, that we hope for heaven. But while we're here right now, you know, we have to bring light to this world. You know, I love that song, Brighten the Corner Where You Are. Brighten the corner where you are. Someone far from harbor, you can guide across the bar. Brighten the corner where you are. And that's what we've been called to do. In the midst of a world that has sorrow in it, that has pain in it, that has hurt in it, that God has called us to bring light to this world. And he said in Matthew, let your light so shine that others may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So until that day, when we enter into the portals of heaven, let us continue to let our light shine. And, you know, there's a lot of hurting people in this world. How are you shining light on their situation? You know, because the reality is that one day all this sorrow is going to be gone. And if we could help, we might not be able to help take away people's sorrow, but if we could help ease the burden a little bit, if we could help alleviate some of that sorrow, you know, that's why God has left us here. Y'all often wonder, you know, if getting saved was all about going to heaven, how come God just didn't take you home the day that you got saved? He left you here, and he left you here for a purpose. He left you here to let your light shine in the midst of this darkness. So there'll be no sorrow. There'll be no sin. There'll be no sin. As we look at Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. There'll be no sin in heaven. We will not have to be concerned about murders and prostitution and stealing and lying and or any other transgression, because you know, we'll be free from sin. You know, I like, if I didn't put this in the notes, but I like this, and I've used this on several occasions, and that is, and y'all don't shout when I say this now. Don't shout when I give you this, right? But justification, that we've been delivered from the power of sin. Sanctification, we are being delivered from the influences of sin. And glorification, will be delivered from the presence of sin. Okay, so let me give you that again. Justification, you being delivered, when Christ died on the cross, he delivered you from the penalty of sin. He delivered you from the penalty of sin. And then sanctification, let me thought, I didn't give you that second P. You are delivered from the power of sin. Every day, we talked about that cleansing, right, on Sunday, that you are delivered from the power of sin. And then one day, when you get to heaven, you will be delivered from the very presence of sin. The presence, justification, delivered from the penalty of sin. Sanctification, delivered from the power of sin. Glorification delivered from the presence of sin. My. Man, what a great salvation that we have. You know, we can't lose with this. So there is one day that God will deliver us from the very presence of sin, that we won't have to worry about sin anymore. So in heaven, there'll be no sin. There'll be no sanctuary. We've been studying the tabernacle on Sunday mornings, and God said, let them build me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them, right? But in heaven, we won't need a sanctuary. John said in Revelation 21 and verse 22, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. In the Old Testament, there were two notable observations about the temple. First, it symbolized the presence of God. And second, the sacrifices were offered for the sins of the people. Now watch this, that there will be no need for a temple in heaven because the presence of the Lord, Exodus 25 and verse 8, let them build me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. God wanted to dwell among his people. So he said, build me a sanctuary. But in heaven, there will be no need for a sanctuary because the presence of the Lord is already there. And Jesus Christ, the one who offered the final sacrifice, is there. So you look at the temple, what was the temple representative of? It was representative of the presence of God, and it was also representative of the sacrifices that they offered. In heaven, the presence of God, the fullness of God, the magnified glory of God will be in heaven. And Jesus Christ, the one who is the eternal sacrifice, he'll be there. So there'll be no need for a sanctuary in heaven. There'll be no sun. Revelation 21, verse 23. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of the Lord did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Notice Revelation 22:5, and there shall be no night, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Because of the presence of the Father and the Son, heaven will be one eternal day. There will not be any need for any external source of lighting, because it will come directly from the glory of God. That's why, we asked the question a couple weeks ago, will we sleep in heaven? And, the Bible doesn't say whether or not we will sleep in heaven, but I believe, and again, this is my interpretation, Pastor Glaze, I believe because of these two verses that there won't be any sleep in heaven, that there'll be no night. There's no night in heaven. There'll be no need for us to go to sleep, right? So, again, that's me saying that. That's my observation. But there'll be no sun in heaven. There'll be no external light. Can you imagine that? That there will be no need for the sun. There'll be no need for the moon or the stars, because God will be the light. Emanating from his presence will be light that lights up everything. And, just think about that. That's beyond comprehension, to think about how can God do that? How can he just light up everything, with his presence? You remember when Moses wanted to see God, and God said that you can't look on me, you can't see me. But he said, I'll let you see my backside. I'll let you see my hinder parts, right? And so Moses just got a little glimpse of the glory of God. And when he did, his face shone. And just by getting a little glimpse of God's glory, and can you imagine? He just got a little glimpse. And when we are able to be exposed to the full manifestation of the glory of God, and how that it just lights everything up. So John said that there'll be no need for the sun, that there will be no sun. Some of y'all gonna shout on this one here, right? There'll be no sickness. There'll be no sickness in heaven. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God. So here again, you know, here we have that river. There is a river in heaven. So when it goes back to that, there's no more sea. I gave you the interpretations of that. What does it mean when it says there'll be no more sea in heaven? So we looked at that, because here we see that there is a river of water that is in heaven and proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, there was a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Now, again, when we get to heaven, we will have glorified bodies. And so our bodies will be totally healed. So, why will we need this tree? Well, again, I believe the tree, to me, and some scholars may argue with this, but I believe the tree is symbolic. And it's just like communion, right? This past Sunday at Bethany, we took communion. Well, when we took communion, we didn't put Christ to death again. We didn't beat his body again. We didn't shed his blood again, right? We took that as a what? As a memorial, to think back on what Christ has done for us. And so I believe even this tree, because, we won't need to be healed, right? Because we'll have glorified bodies. And in our glorified bodies, we won't get sick. But the leaves will be representation of the healing. There's a tree in heaven, and it possesses leaves for the healing of nation. The tree is not to heal the sick, because there'll be no more sickness in heaven. The tree stands as a symbol that God has healed his people, and they will never suffer sickness again. Wow. I think of over the years, all the homegoing services that I've done here at Bethany, since 1990, doing homegoing services. And, I started back in 1990, from the time I got here. Whenever I did a homegoing service, I kept the program. So over these 30 some years, every year I've got the programs of the saints that have gone home to be with the Lord. And a lot of times, some of the saints that passed away, they passed away because they were sick. They were dealing with some kind of illness. And, just think that when they got to heaven, there was no more illness. There was no more physical illness, no more mental illness, whatever other kind of illness that you can think of. Even, maybe today, you're dealing with some type of malady in your body. And just to think that, in this life, these are things that we have to deal with. But when we get to heaven, there's no more sickness. And so oftentimes, and I've heard people say it at homegoing services, right? They're not dealing with the sickness anymore. My loved one, is not dealing with this anymore. And so even for us that are left here, that gives us relief to know that when our loved ones, wouldn't it be a shame if when our loved ones died, that especially, those that knew Christ, wouldn't it be a shame if they went on the other side and carried whatever sickness that they had here, they carried it with them into eternity? Man, that wouldn't be any kind of heaven at all. And so, we truly look forward to the day when we get to heaven, when God will heal. Again, we will have glorified bodies, and in our glorified bodies, we will not get sick. We will not deal with sickness in our glorified bodies. And finally, we see here that there'll be no supplication. And when I say supplication, I mean prayer. That there's not going to be any prayer in heaven. Can you believe that? Now, somebody's going to say, well, wait a minute, Pastor Glaze, what are you talking about? Well, let me say this. There's going to be praise in heaven. There's going to be thanksgiving in heaven. There's going to be meditation in heaven. And these are all forms of prayer. But there's not going to be any prayer as we know it. You know, when we think of prayer, what do we think of? Petitions and intercession, right? We think of, I got to pray for my loved one, right? So when we get to heaven, there's not going to be any prayer for loved ones, right? When we think that I got to pray for my needs, you know, we petition. Well, when we get to heaven, we don't have to pray for our needs. You know, everything will be taken care of. So just think about the model prayer that Jesus gave. Other than praise, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? That's praise. And we will praise in heaven. There will definitely be praise in heaven. But listen to the rest of the prayer and answer this question. Will we need this in heaven, right? Give us this day our daily bread. We don't need to pray that in heaven. Why? Because all of our needs will be taken care of. Forgive us as we forgive others. We won't pray that in heaven because we've already been forgiven. Everybody that's been there or everybody that's there will be forgiven. Lead us not into temptation. Well, the devil's not going to be there, so there's not going to be any temptation. So you don't have to pray, lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. You're not going to be caught up in evil. So you see, there will be no, and again, I'll say these two forms of prayer, petition and supplication, right? There'll be no supplication in heaven. And, you know, many of us have heard the song. And that's why, you know, I don't know, you know, I try to, and sometimes I don't always do it like I want to. I really try to listen to the words of songs that are being sung. But here was a song that I sang since the time I got saved. And for some reason, until one time, and might be when I was studying prayer, that this song, that the words of this song really jumped out. And it was the song, Sweet Hour of Prayer. And, Sweet Hour of Prayer, Sweet Hour of Prayer, that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. So we know that part, right? We got that part down. But there's a verse, a chorus, or a line in this song, and it says, and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. So on the way to heaven, the songwriter said, I'm going to say farewell to my earthly companion, which is prayer. That I'll say goodbye to prayer. You know, I won't need prayer anymore. Now, again, I don't want anybody to misunderstand me. There will be praise. There will be thanksgiving. There will be meditation. And those are all forms of prayer. But prayer as we know it, petition and intercession, that we will say farewell to those components of prayer when we get to heaven. So there'll be no supplication when we get to heaven. And then I like the song, when we all get to heaven, and I've quoted this already, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Why? Why will we sing and shout the victory? Because there'll be no supplication, no sickness, no sun, no sanctuary, no sin, no sorrow, no sea, and no Satan. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on In Kirk and Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of New Heaven, New Earth. If you would like an audio copy of today's message, Heaven Part 3, you can contact us at InKirkInJesus.org and request Heaven Part 3.org and request Heaven Part 3 from our Bible Prophecy Series, or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series on Bible Prophecy is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our gifts come from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.